a word the Lord dropped in my heart in this camp meeting. Hallelujah. He says, now is judgment come. Hallelujah. Now is judgment come. That was the way it was dropped in my heart. And I have to look at the scripture to find out where that is. Because God will not be speaking to you outside the scripture. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Whatever God says, in whatever manner he says it, it is always traceable to the scripture. So, I heard now is judgment come. And I know that it is not a very nice word. And I know that it is a prophetic word. Hallelujah. And because it is a prophetic word, you need a prophetic anointing to deliver a prophetic word. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I began to ponder over it, began to meditate on it, because I know that it is for us in this camp meeting. And I believe it's a word that is going to help us in this time. It's a word that is going to help me. Hallelujah. It's a word that is going to help me bring me out of my sleep and slumber. It's a word that is going to help me, help the church to prepare herself for the days that are ahead. The Bible says that the days are evil. So there is judgment coming. I don't know how prepared we are for this judgment. But I pray that this word will be able to prepare us and bring us to the place where we can come to a place of safety. Hallelujah. Amen. He says that when judgment is on a people, what happens? It's on that the inhabitants, they learn what? Righteousness. When judgment comes, men begin to learn righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we want to prepare ourselves before the judgment comes. We have to begin to judge ourselves. He says, if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. Is that right? Amen. So this is the time to judge ourselves. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to tell you areas we are going to look at before we start reading the scriptures. Number one is that we want to look at what is the area of judgment. I use the word is because the tendency is for me to say what are the areas of judgment. But I can tell you that all the areas of judgment are encapsulated in one word, and it's called darkness. Hallelujah. God is going to judge darkness wherever it is found. And that is the number one principle you and I must take. We must know that God hates darkness. Hallelujah. He says that men run away from the light. Why? Because they are evil. And when there is evil, there is what? Darkness. Hallelujah. So God is going to judge darkness wherever it is found, irrespective of who it is. If he finds darkness in me, he is going to judge the darkness in me. You know why? Because he is not a respecter of what? Persons. Some people think because they have risen in position, in the church that God is not going to judge their darkness. That is absolutely false. God is going to judge darkness wherever it is found. If he finds darkness in my home, he will judge darkness in my home. If he finds darkness in the world out there, he will judge darkness in the world. So we are going to look at those areas he's going to judge. Those areas that have been influenced with darkness. Those areas in our lives, in our activities, in our carrying on, in our environment. We are going to look at those areas he's going to judge. Hallelujah. So it is important we understand, you know, what he's going to judge. God is going to judge every darkness. Hallelujah. Then the next question we might be asking, what is the form of this judgment? What is the form of the judgment? We must know the form that the judgment is going to come. You know something? God has set his criteria on how he's going to judge. You know why? Because he's a righteous judge. Are we together, brethren? He's going to judge a righteous judgment. You are not going to say, God, you are partial. He said, no. I gave you the yardstick with which I'm going to judge. In fact, we human beings, you know what God says? He says that with what measure? Is it not so? The same will be measured to you. Hallelujah. So God has got his criteria lined out, how he's going to judge, so that humanity will be left in no doubt that this is righteous judgment. Amen. Hallelujah. Then we shall also try to look at who shall bring this judgment. Hallelujah. Who shall bring the judgment? Hallelujah. Who is bringing the judgment? Who is going to execute the judgment? Hallelujah. That responsibility has been reserved to someone to carry out. Hallelujah. And whether the person is even prepared to carry out that assignment, to carry that responsibility, is a different issue. Hallelujah. And then finally, we shall ask ourselves, when is this judgment? Very, very important. When is the judgment? Hallelujah. Praise God. Because we have a tendency to think that the judgment is far away. Hallelujah. But as we go back to the word, it said, now is judgment come. So we are going to look at it in detail. We shall look at the things that the Lord is saying to us. And we shall try as much as possible to appropriate it. Hallelujah. We shall look at how does it concern us. This judgment, how does it concern us? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's open to Revelation chapter 15. We're going to read three different places in Revelation. Hallelujah. That will give us an understanding of what this thing looks like. To know that judgment has been released. Revelation 15. Just look at from verse 4. It says, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. Hallelujah. Amen. He did not say thy judgments are manifesting. He did not say your judgment shall manifest or will manifest. Hallelujah. He did not say that your judgment did manifest. Speaking in past tense. But he says that thy judgments are made manifest. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Brother, we live in a time when the judgments of God is now. It's happening now. Hallelujah. Because Isaiah says that the whole earth is filled with what? Darkness. Is it not so? Are we together, brethren? Yes, I want you to answer so that I'll know. And I pray that nobody will sleep. Hallelujah. Because you ate one food that has a tendency to send you to sleep. Praise God. So please don't sleep. Hallelujah. He says, gross darkness shall cover what? The earth. That darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness what? The people. Hallelujah. He didn't exclude anyone. He didn't say them that are called end time church are excluded from darkness. Did he do that? He said the people. And I can tell you without mincing word that includes me. I have darkness in me. Hallelujah. And you get no point of deliverance until you begin to admit that you have darkness inside of you. Hallelujah. Talking about the world filled with darkness, you and I know that. Is it not so? So there is darkness all over the world. Hallelujah. Christians, there are darknesses in them. Hallelujah. In the church, there is darkness. Is it not so? Hallelujah. So, darkness is all over the place. Hallelujah. But somehow, there is a group of people who are going to escape from the darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture is very, very specific. He says that the light of the glory of God shall what? Shall what? Shall arise. Amen. So it does mean that there is something inside that was going on. Hallelujah. That in the midst of the darkness, you have a people that God is causing his light to walk inside of them. Hallelujah. And that a time comes when the light shall arise. Praise God. So there is darkness all over the world. And that judgment for darkness is now. We need to emphasize this, brethren, because we have a mentality of procrastinating, of pushing God's judgment to the future. One of those scriptures that we hinge it on. He said, what is that? And after that, what? Judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, judgment. So, it gives us a mentality of the future. Hallelujah. But I can also tell you that judgment has begun. And judgment has always been. Because this word about, he says, that for thy judgments are made what? Manifest. It gives you a continuous sense of God's judgment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 5 says, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was what? Opened. Hallelujah. And when the heavens were opened, things began to happen. Things began to be released. The judgment began to come forth. And I can tell you that the heavens are open. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, whenever the heavens opens, judgments follow it. Hallelujah. Amen. I can give you a very practical example. this morning as we worship, did the heaven open? Did the heavens open? Oh, yes. And you know we like it. I love it. I love when the heavens open. But I can also tell you that when the heavens open, it is coming with what? Judgment. Hallelujah. And that is why our souls need to be lifted to a threshold where judgment can touch it. Hallelujah. Amen. Where judgment can touch it. Hallelujah. Listen, when a people sing, maybe the song is very nice and very good, and everybody enjoys it. Hallelujah. And the heaven is not opened. Judgment is not come. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the people that begin to open up themselves to the Spirit of God, God begin to release judgment. Hallelujah. To those areas, to those faculties, to those departments that need God's judgment. Hallelujah. Because when the heavens are open, do you know what happens? Light begins to what? Shine. So light begins to enter to judge every darkness in me. Hallelujah. When the heavens are opened. Hallelujah. There was a time when the heavens opened upon one man. Hallelujah. Praise God. The heavens opened unto him. But instead of raining judgment, you know what he said? He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Hallelujah. God's judgment concerning him was what? Perfect. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 6, he said, "And the seven angels," because the heavens were opened, the seven angels now proceeded out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Amen. You know, the seven angels, when the heavens were opened, they released judgment. And the judgment that were released came in form of what? Plagues. Hallelujah. He said, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. There is something about the nature of God, about the righteousness of God in carrying out judgment upon the earth. Hallelujah. Anytime you see men gathered with girdles, golden girdles, God, just go and check it out. I'm just talking by the Spirit now. I haven't checked it out myself. When they are gathered with girdles, check it out. There is judgment. They are trying to convey judgment upon the earth. Hallelujah. Or there was judgment. Or there is going to be judgment. Hallelujah. One scripture comes to my mind. You remember Joshua, is it not so? There was something said about Gideon, is it not so? Am I correct, brethren? We're not sure. Hallelujah. Said something about the filthy what? Garment. Hallelujah. Amen. And he was clothed afresh. So he removed that garment. Hallelujah. So there is judgment coming when God begins to send his messengers carrying the nature of God with it, because that is what gives them the authority to bear the judgment. Hallelujah. He says, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. So we conclude that what they were bearing were seven vials, and the seven vials carried what? Plagues. Hallelujah. Full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Hallelujah. Seven plagues. Hallelujah. Were fulfilled. Let's go again to chapter 16. He says, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Hallelujah. I seem to be hearing that. Hallelujah. And I can tell you that it has already been poured. Hallelujah. The judgment has begun. The judgment is on. Hallelujah. He said, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Hallelujah. Let's talk a little bit about a few words here. He says that the first went out, one of the angels went out and he poured out a vial upon the earth. And there was noisome. What is the word noisome? What does it mean to you? Hallelujah. Amen. What does the word noisome mean? Huh? Noise. Noma. Does not mean noise. It's far from it. Hallelujah. It means injurious. Huh? Bad. Very bad. Very harmful. Wicked. You have heard of the word noisome beast. Have you heard that word before? Amen. So does it mean that it was beasts that were making noise? Huh? Hallelujah. No, sir. It talks about humanity. It talks about the present situation of the world. It talks about the wickedness that is present right now. It also talks about the disease that is released in this time. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when the issue of Ebola, many of us were really scared. Hallelujah. Because you can see a human being carrying injurious disease. Walking about. Hallelujah. The mere fact that he is touching your skin with sweat, you get it. Hallelujah. Is it not so? Hallelujah. So we are told that we should wear long sleeve. So that when you enter bus, you will not be rubbing someone else's sweat. If not, you are going to contact something evil. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know the whole story about people that had Ebola, how they died. But one I know is that the person begins to decay from the inside. Brothers, am I correct? You guys have read, know a lot about that. Hallelujah. Something begins to happen that terminates the life of the individual. Hallelujah. Is it possible that somebody can be alive? I mean, somebody can, on the outside, he looks very okay, but he is dying inside. He's getting rotten inside. Is it possible? It's possible, right? Praise God. In fact, I know of one. Brother will know that one. There was one man called Nana Carlo. Hallelujah. They said, Nana, Onyishok Poroko. Hallelujah. You know why? You have heard of that before? That he used part of his brain to make money. So anytime the center of his head starts getting rotten, the money will be multiplying in his wardrobe. Hallelujah. Whether that is true or not, I do not know. But they were calling him Nana, what? Onishokporoko, that his head was smelling like stockfish. Now when the thing starts smelling like that, just know that his money is coming. Hallelujah. Anyway, that is by the side, just to tease you a little bit. But the fact, brethren, is that the scripture talks about men who are living. But they are what? Walking what? Dead. Hallelujah. And all of that is being multiplied upon the earth in this hour. Grievous, noisome, grievous sores upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. In the sea of what? In the sea of humanity. Hallelujah. In this particular time, there is judgment going on, and men are dying. There is death every second of the day. Hallelujah. And one interesting thing here is that he says that every living soul, they are not spiritual soul. I hope we learned all about that. Every living soul, that is even the man that says that I am born again, whose soul had been somehow awakened, died where? In the sea. In the flesh, in the carnality, he was taken over. Hallelujah. That is what is being released in this hour. Therefore, men are dying because of the judgment that is coming. He says, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters. Jesus. And they became blood. Hallelujah. The very source of life is being turned into blood. He said, and I heard the angel of the water say, thus art right, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. There is another level of judgment that is going to affect certain category of people. And these people shed the blood of who? Of saints. Killing them. Hallelujah. They are going, he says in Isaiah, I think 49, that he will give them their what? Their own blood to drink as wine. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord, God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scourge men with fire. And when men were scourged with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had poured out or poured over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. In other words, they did not repent. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Hallelujah. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working what? Miracles. Which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Praise God. I'll go a little bit again to chapter 17. Hallelujah. I'll read just two verses there in chapter 17. He says, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great hall, that seated upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Amen. Praise God. I'm reading these scriptures to just give us a general idea of the spheres of the judgment. Hallelujah. Of what is being done in the heavens. What God is doing. What is happening in the heavens. And I can also tell you that this judgment is going to affect every area of our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us begin with number one. The areas of judgment. Number one, God is going to judge this world. Hallelujah. God is going to judge this world. And he's going to judge this world with a vehement judgment. Because he has poured out his wrath upon the earth. So there is judgment coming upon this world. There is judgment now in this world. Hallelujah. And that is why he said, love not the world, nor anything that is in the world. All that do what? Love the world. What happens to them? The love of the Father is not in him. I don't know whether you understand. If you have any affinity with the world, if you have any soft spot for the world, hallelujah. He says that the love of the Father is not what? In you. Why? Because he has judged this world. You know what he says? He says that even the prince of this world is what? Judged. Hallelujah. So why do you want to benefit from that which has been judged? Hallelujah. Of what good is it for us to benefit from anything that has been judged? I'll give you an example. Something was judged, pronounced judgment upon that city. You remember the city? And Achan went and took that which was what? Judged. Hallelujah. He took, the Bible says that it was what? An accursed thing. That it was judged. I see many of us struggling with the things of this world, including me. Hallelujah. I love the comfort of this world. I love to have nice things. I love to dress well. At least you can see my shirt is ironed. I love to wear good shoes, ride good cars. You understand? Hallelujah. When I don't have it, I begin to crave for it. Hallelujah. I begin to yearn for it. I'm telling you, brethren, God is not saying that. Hallelujah. God, not. Listen, I don't know whether we really understand. No child of his is poor. You see, you have not agreed with that one. Amen. No child of God is poor. And I'm saying it from a different standpoint. God is able to provide for you. Hallelujah. When the time comes, whatever God wants me to have, he gives it to me. Sometimes I don't struggle for it. Hallelujah. He says that your heavenly Father, that he knows what you need. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, we begin to get into the rat race. We want to have it. I remember how I spend sleepless nights walking. I'm really serious. Ask my wife. When I have certain projects to do, night after night. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wish, hallelujah, that I don't have to struggle that much. But you see, what is driving me is the complexity of the things, of the forces that are at work in the world. Hallelujah. If I can just come to a point and I tell you, there is a point in God where you don't need to struggle. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are struggling with the world. We want to meet up. The Englishman says, you want to meet up with the Joneses. You want to be like other people. If you are not like them, then, you are not. You are just not in the groove. You are not part of it. Hallelujah. So you must wear what is in vogue. Speak like them. Behave like them. And God is saying that this world, this present world, is judged. And that any man that has any affinity with it is also going to be judged. That is what Romans chapter 1 verse 32 says. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Can we just have that? There is a line there that is very, very interesting. Romans 1 32. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll give you an example. Hallelujah. I don't like a thief. Do you like a thief? You don't like a thief. Hallelujah. But you see, when you see the thief dressed very well, say, that man is nice, dressed very... Hallelujah. Meanwhile, you are not even worried about the source of his money. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you about myself. I had classmates in secondary school. And during WAEC, they tried to make everybody in class 5 then, not SS3, class 5. Okay, from 5. Uh-huh. But they are not the same thing, no. It's not the same thing with SS3 now. No, is it the same thing? They are not the same thing. Hallelujah. Amen. So I was in form 5 with my classmates, and it was time for WAEC. And because of how God has dealt with me and because of what I know that is wrong, hallelujah, I never try to participate in what? Examination, what? Malpractice. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to listen very carefully. Okay? Now, they went and bought the paper. That is, they bought all the papers for the exam, before the exam. And then what they did was to bring all of them and they swore, they killed a chicken, poured out the blood, and do what? Oath. Swore oath that nobody is going to leak out this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do not sleep, oh. Hallelujah. Because you must identify where your problem is coming from. Praise God. So when they did that, what I did was that when the exam came, the week when the exam was starting, I packed out of the school compound. And when I stayed with my friends, two of them, we all belonged to Scripture Union those days. Hallelujah. So we're there reading on our own, preparing. Hallelujah. One day, one morning, I strolled in to come and take my bath so that I can go and sit for the exam. Our deputy senior prefect, he called me. He said, why are you worrying yourself? This thing, just come, it's free now. You can. And when, the day he told me that particular thing was the day we had mathematics. And bro, I know that area, trouble there. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when he told me that, I told him, no, I'm not interested. Hallelujah. But when the time reached to enter the hall, my legs started shaking. I started sweating. And then I sat down and, hallelujah. Long and short was that I scored. You want to hear the result? Hallelujah. I scored a P7. Okay, I didn't do very bad, isn't it? I didn't do badly. I passed. Anyhow, I want to look at it. I what? Passed. Hallelujah. It's better than F9. I had P7. There is a big difference between P7 and F9. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is not really where I'm going to. Now, these, my friends, as we are speaking now, some of them are in one cult or the other. Are you following? I know that they belong. I see them in uniform when they used to come for gyration. So I see them. Hallelujah. And one of them is a very senior bank manager. Riding very fine car, is it not so? Hallelujah. What do you think will be the tendency in my heart? You see now, I would have been like one of these guys. I see how they... One day God had to call me to order. What are you admiring? The things you admire, do you know the source that they come from? Amen. I got that rebuke. From that day, I stopped admiring man. Hallelujah. In the sense, you understand the sense I'm talking about. Hallelujah. There are things in people you admire. Even the angel, you know what? He was admiring at those people. He said, with what? Great what? Admiration. Praise God. Brethren, when we begin to love the world, not just, yes, you might try to say, this is an area that you don't so much like. I don't wear trousers, but when you see one that is wearing, you fancy it. It's in your heart. So deal with it. Romans, he said, but have what? Pleasure in them that what? Do it. When judgment comes, when the world is judged, you are going to be judged. I will be judged. For the mere fact that I have pleasure, I enjoy seeing them. I enjoy their company. I don't do the things they do. But I love their company. I love to be like them. Judgment is coming. And when judgment comes, you are not going to be spared. Don't try to tell God that, God, you can't be so wicked that you will not allow the lot of the... what is that scripture? The rod of God to fall on the what? The lot of the righteous. Forget it. Hallelujah. And if an Egyptian, was actually found in the company of the Israel during the time of the plague. What happened? Though we don't have any such record, but we are just assuming he'll be saved. So also, if an Israelite is found in the company of the Egyptians during the time of judgment, what do you think will happen? He'll be judged. Simple. That's God's principle. Hallelujah. So God is judging the world. And I can tell you on the physical, because we have tried to establish that, which the aspect that concerns us. But I can also tell you that God is judging this world. He's judging the political system. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe the end time church, you don't really believe that Christians should involve in politics. So we're not discussing that one. Is it not so? Okay, there may be some, amen is not too loud. So somebody still believes he can, you know, he can change the world, okay? He can change his local government. So he can go and be what? Chairman of a local government. Development is not coming to my local government. So why? This government, they are eating all the money. So let me go and join them. Go and join them. You will join them. You go engage in a journey of no return. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's forget that one. But the fact is that, brethren, the political system of the world is under God's judgment as we speak. Hallelujah. And I see a progression as we look into the days to come. Hallelujah. The rapidity of the judgment will amaze men. Hallelujah. The way things are going to go, every man on the face of the earth will begin to tremble. Watch your economy. The economy is under judgment. Very soon you begin to see it. Begin with Nigeria. We put all our trust in oil, is it not so? Oil will become two for penny. Or two for... Hallelujah. Amen. Very soon. The things that men put their faith and trust in is going to be totally shaken. He said, behold, I shake the heavens and the earth. And the only things that will remain will be the things that cannot be shaken. So, the world is under God's shaking and judgment. In fact, I can hear the vibration of the shaking. I can see things tumbling down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some are even preparing government on the governmental level. They begin to store food, canned food, because they know that any moment from now, something is going to explode. Somebody amongst us was telling me, hallelujah, there is something called nuclear weapon. Are you aware? Hallelujah. And it works with uranium. Is it not so? Hallelujah. They said that correct me if I'm wrong, brother, if the uranium gets to a certain level, that the nuclear weapon will just shoot itself. Hallelujah. Amen. I am telling you, brethren, the year to come, in fact, this year, Benjamin Netanyahu told UN, he said, listen, you are wasting your time with all this nuclear program. He said, this agreement, it will not work. That was what he said. And if you know the implication, it means that that is even if you strike and it doesn't strike, I am going to retaliate any moment you touch that thing. Hallelujah. I don't think we understand the gravity of it. That is massive destruction. That is what is coming. That is on a universal scale. Hallelujah. And when it happens, you just the air you breathe, you are down. Hallelujah. Amen. Every agreement they are going, you know, politicians. Share you and I, what do we say about politicians? Never you trust a politician. Is it not true? Oh yes, Wayo. Hallelujah. Double-tongued people. Sweet talkers. They talk on this side, on the other side, they are saying a different thing. Amen. And all that thing they go there to do agreement, they are wasting their time. They know what they want to do. They have their plans. Touch me and I will pull the trigger. All of us, they call it Samson option. Have you heard that before? They call it Samson's option. You know what Samson's option is? All of us die. Just hold the pillars. Pull it down. Instead, you will kill me. Let all of us quench. And that is where the world is coming. And we are going to see it beginning to unfold. Right now, we are battling and struggling with Boko Haram. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't want to talk about Nigeria. Because Nigeria's trouble is too many. We don't even know where to touch it politically. Amen. Haven't you noticed that a movement is coming from the north? And a movement is coming from the south. And they are going to meet somewhere. Hallelujah. So it is not a joke. It is now for the saints of God to what? Arise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm saying this because I know that you know about God's judgment upon the world. And if God's judgment is upon the world, what are you doing with it? Why do you want to be attached to it? Why are you so anxious about it? I'm not saying we shouldn't have our plans. I'm not saying that we should not do the things that will sustain us. But be careful what you are doing right now. What you are doing, is it bringing darkness or is it driving away darkness in your soul? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some people get. I don't think you have seen any man that is talking about Biafra. With a passion, even Christians. With a passion in which they say it. So involved. Hallelujah. As if there is something personal you have. And some of us, even the politicians, when we talk about them, we are so passionate. Some of us want to defend Buhari with our whole life. Some want to defend Jonathan. Jonathan would have won it. What are you trying to get yourself involved? And by the time, brethren, I know that by the time I start getting involved in that, I'm talking about myself. There is something that begins to move inside of me. Is it not so? There is a movement. That movement is called what? Darkness. You can feel darkness when it's moving if you don't know. You begin to get angry. You begin to get, so strong on your point. You begin to drag even among brethren. Hallelujah. What are you trying to defend? A system that is already under God's judgment. Hallelujah. That is why he says that that we should not be part of the world. Have no relationship with it. He said, I'm in the world, but I'm not what? Of the world. Hallelujah. Because judgment has come upon it. I think that this should be very, very clear in our minds. Very, very clear. I always use an illustration concerning Jews. If you go to UK, the Jews, they live in the same kind of location. Is it not so? Hallelujah. They don't mix. And may God help you. You walk and you come closer to their fence. That is, by the time you turn back, you will see a policeman behind you. He said, excuse me, what are you looking for here? Hallelujah. Amen. They do their business themselves. There are Israeli shops. Hallelujah. That business, they have no Nigerian man being part of their business. Are you following me? Because we try to say, ah, we are, after all, Igbo man is a Jew. You are not Jew, nothing. Hallelujah. you get what I'm saying? I'm talking with facts. A man came from the U.S. in October to our school, and we're asking him questions. I asked that question. I say, because they called it Igbo Landing Project, how the Igbos originated and how they are. So I asked, I said, there is a speculation that the Igbos are Jews. Please, can you elaborate on that? He said, there is nothing like that. He's a professor. He said, they have nothing, no project like that. Nobody has been able to trace that. Because he was now studying anthropology, right? You know, and he's also a professor of theology. He combined a lot of things, PhD in this, you know, a lot of it. The man is just researching. And he just discovered that his origin, whether he, you know, during the time of the slave trade, his parents came from Mbisa or thereabouts. Praise God. So he has been researching to find his roots. So, you know, and if you see the way he was talking with passion, hallelujah. He was talking about this, he was almost crying. Praise God. That is by the way. The point I'm trying to make, the Jews, they hardly intermingle. Hallelujah. Amen. They do not marry another person from another tribe or another nation. Is it not so? Oh, you do it, your father will disown you. Hallelujah. Amen. My brother-in-law had a friend, a Jew. Hallelujah. He's a family friend to them in UK. And this is friend. He lent him some money, about £5,000 or thereabouts. But this young man was in love with another lady who is not a Jew. The father told him not to have anything to do with that girl. But they were so in love that one day they did what? Eloped. They ran away. So my brother-in-law wanted his money back. So he came to the father and said, you know, let's assume his name is Joseph. You know, Joseph is owing me some money. The father said, oh, how much is it? He said, £5,000. He said, okay, come. He took him to the inner room. Even your banking system, they don't trust it. Took him inside and pulled off his rug, opened one safe. He said, look inside. My brother-in-law saw it, pounds, filled there. Closed it by saying, I'm giving you no cover. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, I'm giving you no penny. Praise God. He covered it and said, for the mere fact that your friend went and lived or is marrying or walking away with another who is not a Jew, my money will not go into it to settle his debts. Hallelujah. I'm bringing a story, brethren, about the way we conduct ourselves. Huh? Amen. My wife is whispering something to me. Some of us don't even care about marrying an unbeliever. Hallelujah. We don't care. So I saw him. I love him. And we want to marry. He's very nice. Hallelujah. Amen. And 100% of what is in the scripture talks about a people. Is it not so? About who? It talks about the Jews. Hallelujah. Talk about the Hebrew. When you are praying, your wife wants to give back. Let her give back like what? Hebrew women. Hallelujah. What are you trying to do? You want to copy them. You want to be like them. You want to only be like them to the area that is convenient for you. But when it comes to associations and relationships, brethren, we just go all out. Even in our business, partnership. You get unbeliever, the man has money. After all, the wealth of the Gentiles shall be what? Converted to us. Hallelujah. And I'm also telling you that every business is also going to be judged. I don't know whether you are aware. Oh, yes. Every business we have, transactions you and I have, is going to pass through a judgmental process to filter whether something of the Gentiles has entered inside. Hallelujah. You know something of the Gentiles? One of them is, hallelujah, whether bribe money has entered inside. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us, when such money come, our wives don't see it. Hallelujah. Amen. You leave it inside the car so that it will not defile the house. Whether you leave it inside the car or you carried it inside is of no consequence. Hallelujah. Praise God. If an unjust money enters your business and judgment comes, that business is going to go down. There is no two ways about it. Hallelujah. Some play around with blood money. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Praise God. That is why I need to know the business you're doing, brother. I need to know how you live your life. You know, the apostles, as they lived together, they knew what each and everyone was doing. I don't know whether you understand. Hallelujah. They don't get themselves involved in anything that is outside righteousness. But today, my elder brother can go and steal government's money and buy cars. He said, bro, why don't you give me one of these cars now? You know, see how your brother has been trekking. He gives it to you. You are riding it. You are enjoying it. Hallelujah. When judgment comes, I know a sister, a very close relation of hers, happened to be a governor. Because I know the relationship, I told her, I said, this is your project, self. Why can't you get this your cousin to bring in, to chip in some money? He said, me? So I will never do it. In other words, there are still people who want to walk what? In righteousness. Do you know the consequences of that? After a while, EFCC came for the man. I'm telling you real story. And you see, they want to find out where he has thrown all the money he has stolen into. Even though the government of the day have declared him innocent. Yet we know, he stole money. Just imagine, if he got some money for that project, and they started looking, don't you think that project would have gone into trouble? In fact, they would say that the man owned the project. He owned that house or whatever. Praise God. Excuse me. So we have got to be very, very careful. Judgment is come. Judgment is now. Watch your back. Watch what you're doing. Hallelujah. Watch over your soul. What are you letting in? Hallelujah. What's that thing that is taking more of your time than more of the time you give God? That is the nitty-gritty of the thing. Hallelujah. Sometimes we are on a business trip for 1 month. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, there is a primary place of assignment God has given to you, which is your family, and you don't really care. When troubles start coming, then you say, oh, God. Meanwhile, you have absconded. You run away from your primary place of assignment. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's make progress. We've talked about the world. God is going to judge another aspect, which is very, very true in Him, with Him. Just open with me to 1 Samuel chapter 5. First Samuel 5. We read from verse 2. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Hallelujah. Who is Dagon? Is a what? Is the god of the Philistines. In other words, he's an idol. Amen. But I think he's much more than that. You see, every idol have got his designate appointment or function. I don't know whether you know. If you talk about Ogun now, that is O-G-U-N. He is god of what? You people don't know, eh? Hallelujah. Go and read, the gods are not to blame. Ogu is the god of what? Thunder. Or iron. God of iron. Which one is thunder? Ifa. Shango. Shango is of thunder. In Greek mythology, they have god of fertility. A goddess of fertility. A woman. Amen. Are you following? So, every idol has got his assignment. And anyone that you bow to is going to fulfill the assignment that you have requested of him or her. Dagon is a fish god. You know what that meant? It's a mammy water spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And every god has got, or idol has got, its own token. Are we following, brethren? Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know whether you know that Mary, that one carrying woman, picking by the side, is an idol. Do you know that? Church, do we know that? You're not very loud on this, so do you know that that is a god? Therefore, it has got what? A symbol. You know the symbol? That thing they carry on their neck. Hallelujah. I dare not preach this in Utru. Hallelujah. If not, they will sack me. Hallelujah. I'm just giving you an example. Dagon is a fish god. And Dagon has an image that represents her. And people carry the image of Dagon around to show solidarity or association or belief in that god. Hallelujah. We're trying to get to something now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see some sisters. When you sew your dress, you give it what they call fish tail. Hallelujah. In fact, there is one girl that really annoys me. She really annoys me in Channels TV. That talks about Metro 5. I don't know whether you have seen her. You immediately see her, you can see image of a fish. It's like that. And what am I trying to drive out? You see, fashion is a symbol, a representation, or the worship of a particular god. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have too much strength to preach about this. You see, Brother Berry will tell you more. Hallelujah. But I'm only trying to identify the area that judgment is coming. Because today we have, everybody is what? Born again. Everybody is born again. Including the end time church. Let me tell you a few of the things we are doing now. To show that we have departed from the truth. Now, in our weddings. Number one. You now have colors of the day. You have color code. and you dare send me invitation, you tell me what to wear, I just pity you. You tell me that I must wear red, or I must wear purple, you are wasting your time. If I love you so much, I will, when you say red, I will wear white. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only that, have you been to end time people, their wedding, and you see the way sisters dress during that day? I'm talking to sisters generally now. Especially them that belong to the bridesmaid. What do you call that one? Okay, maids of honor. Hallelujah. They are more worldly than world. Hallelujah. I attended one end time one. I just came out and I was shaking my head. I said, God, help your people. Because the sisters, boah. You understand? You understand now? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is Dagon at work. Hallelujah. With faces painted. I wish I had the image of Dagon. Maybe if you have your internet there, type in Dagon and go point image. They will bring it up. You have an idea. Praise God. Dagon, all idols in the land will be judged. And all that carry his image. I don't know. That scripture I'm quoting, is it not so? All that bear his image will be judged. We need to be very, very careful. He says that the judgment is now come. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, let the church begin to be very, very careful what we give ourselves unto. I don't want to go to the other areas. It's not necessary. They say that Ibo man says, that is, use your tongue to do what? Count your teeth. Hallelujah. God is not playing pranks with anyone. And God is no respecter of persons. If you are having a relationship with the world, God is going to judge. God is going to judge Dagon and every idol. You see, some of us are influenced by the idols in our families. I don't know whether you know that. You're not saying yes as if you know. Some of us are carrying marks of idolatry on our body. And that is why the issue of sexual perversion can never leave you. That is a fact, because you are carrying something. There is something in your loins. There's an idol, there is a covenant, there's an association which your father or your forefather or your grandfather had, and you are carrying it. And that is why we cannot be set free. Even when you are born again, forget it. Some people say, oh, when you are born again, it is all over. Christ has taken care of that. It's a lie. Hallelujah. If it was so, just simple scripture. When Lazarus came out of the grave clothes should have remained in the grave. Simple logic, is it not so? When man resurrects, clothes do not come with them. Is it not so? Simple. There is nothing like saved and Christ has taken out every. It's not true. I'm sure, knowing the weakness of the man who came out of the grave, he told his friends to do what? Loose him. This message is to loose you. Hallelujah. From the power of death and of the grave. He says that in that day, them that are in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they shall raise them up. That is what the message will do to you and I. Amen.
Amen.
To lose the things we are carrying. So man cannot get out, and then you are saved, and everything is fine. That is why the church is in confusion. That is what they have preached to you in Pentecost. That is not true. Hallelujah. Today I discovered no man talks about the issue about... Is it not Brother Bray that told us one story? There is one mommy something. A driver hit her. She chased, told her driver to pursue that man. Pursue. They went beyond Imo Gate. Cross doubled the man. And she came out and gave the man. Boah! Huh? Are you with me? Nobody is talking about the idols. The passions inside. No church is talking about it. 190% of people who break traffic law in this country are churchgoers. People that say they are born again. In fact, you will see the sticker. 2016, multiple year of increase. I just pray that God will deliver us from all this nonsense. Brethren, we cannot be part of a fallen system. He says that Babylon is down. Hallelujah. God is judging every idolatry. God has erased a Joshua in this time. God has already a ministry that will go and say, listen, every idol must come down. Hallelujah. The things that control my behavior, that control my character, that control my emotion, that control my desires, my passions, they all must be judged. And that is what God is saying to us. Hallelujah. Today, you know, it's very, very easy to take a few brethren. They go to your father's house because you have struggled so much with poverty. You put your hand in this, nothing works. You do that one, nothing works. You say, it's the idols in my father's house. Hallelujah. That's all we can do because we want money. God is going beyond that. We need to begin to discover that when God delivers me from anger, he's delivering me from the idols. Hallelujah. He says that when a man's way does what? Pleases the Lord. He makes his what? His enemies. There is no witch in your compound that can bring you down. So stop worrying witches. Bind them and throw them away. It's not your father. It's not your mother. Rather, you have a witch inside. Hallelujah. And every witch must what? Hallelujah. Amen. You know what I'm trying to say? Very, very easy to look outside. Meanwhile, there is a witch inside. There is a witch called witch of anger. Witch of, what is her name? Lie. Hallelujah. What is it called now? Witchcraft. Yes. Do you know what witchcraft is? Do you know what it is? What is it? To suck blood. What is it? What? Wishing another person evil. God bless you. That is not all. Manipulate. The lie that you are telling is to manipulate somebody. Is it not so? So is the person not a witch? No, it's serious now. Hallelujah. And then, because he didn't buy me Christmas clothes, he wants me to. What do you think that is? You are manipulating your husband, or your children manipulating you. Either way. Hallelujah. Are we together, brethren? That is witchcraft. Children have witchcraft. Hallelujah. You look at witch. If you are my age, and because you want employment and you go and change, I go and change my age to 30 years old, it's witchcraft. Don't you understand? You are manipulating something. And God is going to judge me if I do that. I told God, I don't want to do this kind of thing that people are doing. If you want to know my age, I tell you right away, I'm 57 years old. Open your eyes wide. Hallelujah. To get a job. Do you know I'm looking 40. Is it not so, brother? I would have safely done that, altered it, and gotten a job. A pensionable one. But do you know what? When judgment will come, hallelujah, you will start to wonder, what happened to brother Isaac? What did he do? It was some 20 years ago when he went and altered his age. And the church will be praying. Hallelujah. But you not know that the day you did it, you set judgment to start what? Running. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, one thing begets another. If you tell lie, you are likely to smoke cigarettes. If you smoke cigarettes, you are likely to follow women. If you follow women, you are likely to drink. But am I talking, brethren? That is a reality. Hallelujah. So one thing leads to another. So why don't I just cut it off and have peace? Hallelujah. Praise God. So God is going to judge Dagon. That's what we're talking about. Look at the way he judged Dagon. That's why I brought up that story. Verse 3. And when day of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. Hallelujah. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. They never believed that something happened to Dagon. Hallelujah. They thought that they didn't balance him well. You know, there is a way you can stand something. It falls. So when they came, they saw it fall. They said, Jerry, why didn't you put this thing well now? They took it and positioned it well. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you something. No idol can stand before the presence of God. It must be judged. That's why I'm reading this story. Every idol, hallelujah, I have seen. Hallelujah. Brother can tell you. I have seen where the glory of God comes down. Nobody touches anybody. And I believe it's going to be so today. Men begin to manifest. Because no spirit can stand before his awesome presence. Praise God. So when they placed Dagon there, he fell again. And when they rose up early, verse 4, on the morning, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left. Hallelujah. This is the time to bring judgment to Dagon. The head of Dagon must go. The things that control and influence our thoughts and our emotions must be judged. That is God's time. You must admit that. Hallelujah. Sometimes I try to call myself to order. My mind begin to wander. I was telling the brethren that a lot of thoughts were going through my mind. Hallelujah. And I know that spirits, the truth of the matter is that idols are spirits. Is it not so? Forget that thing that you see like a carved stick is a spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when they come, they begin to look for an inroad into your soul. And the earlier you shut the door, the better for yourself. The earlier you realize that your thoughts are straying, the better for yourself. Because when once they enter, hallelujah, before you know it, they have committed one crime inside your soul. So you better don't let it in at all. Praise God. Like Boshiko was saying, hallelujah. When one day I tried clicking one of those things that pop up. It was like you want to throw your phone on the floor. Amen. You never try it. Don't attempt. Hallelujah. Don't tell me that the grace of God will carry you through. No grace. A man can only find grace when he comes where grace can reach him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the head and the hand of Dagon was cut off. I'm trying to say judgment is coming to every idol in my soul. The things that I exalt above the knowledge of God. The things that I cherish. The imaginations, the thoughts. Hallelujah. God is bringing them to judgment. Why? It's very, very simple. God wants to raise a people who think like Him. Everything inside of them is God. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage our young people. Instead of when you come together, you are talking about the latest movie or latest music. Ask yourself, bro, Jay, how can we go to the hospital and visit some hospital people and just sing for them? And just bless them. We are not going to preach. We just want to go there, sing. Hallelujah. As a young man, that was what I'm not telling you something I did not do. I went out with my friends. I started playing guitar very early. Do you know what I did? Those days, I saved money to order for one file on how to play guitar from the U.S. It came. That was when postal orders were safe now. They won't purify all. It came. I started learning to play guitar. What was the objective? Oh, my God. It's just to minister to the church. It never crossed my mind that I could play and make money out of it. It never crossed my mind. Hallelujah. Even though the beginning was very rough. Out of my own excitement. One day, I and my friends, they invited us to a Baptist church, 93 Agri Road, in a big congregation that Sunday morning. Amen. Boy, I struck one chord. My compatriots sang a different key. Jesus Christ. You just want to let the ground open, you enter. We have to sing it through. I don't know whether you know that kind of embarrassment. I just look at them. I was thumbing my own away. They were singing their own. When we finish, we all meet at Amen. And they quietly said, you can come down. Praise God. But there was zeal. That's the point I'm making. Where is your zeal? Where is your passion? What do you desire to do? Because what you desire to do that is in God will help you deal with the idol in your soul. I don't know whether you understand that. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, why we pray is that we are praying so that my mind will be so enveloped in God that it will drive darkness in my soul. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you, when you wake up and you want to, you know, get into a prayer, I spend 30 minutes just speaking in tongues. What do you think that we are doing? We are trying to deal with some of those idols that are hiding inside. Tell them to go away. Go away. I don't want you. Hallelujah. You know why I'm speaking like this? I want it to go down to the little children. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we exercise ourselves in the things of God, we are judging the idols in our soul. Hallelujah. Amen. When we give ourselves to the light, to the things of the light, we are driving away what? Darkness. It's very, very practical. Hallelujah. A thought of darkness of a naked woman appears before you. Hallelujah. You begin to recite a scripture. What do you think you're doing? You're driving away the idol of nudity and sexual perversion. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Dagon must be judged. Hallelujah. All idols. And God is raising a company of people like Jehu. You remember that man? He just went down. He brought them all down. Hallelujah. He dealt with every idol in Israel. Hallelujah. And I pray that God will raise men. Not men who will begin to argue with God. You know what? Many of us, we argue. And that is why we are not making progress. You say, no, this is not, it should not be. Somebody say, no, what do you mean? What do you mean? You know, are you sure you're not taking this thing too far? How can the idols go down when some amongst us have support for it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's take another judgment. Another area of judgment. Another area of judgment is the household of God. And God is saying that that judgment has begun. 1 Peter 4:17. 1 Peter 4:17. Can we get that? 1 Peter 4:17. Hallelujah. He said, for the time is come that judgment must begin. But let's just go back. Hallelujah. From verse 12. He says, beloved, think it not strange. Concerning the very trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be revealed also with exceeding joy. That you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Hallelujah. Some of us don't want to be reproached because of Christ. Hallelujah. For the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is what? Glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Hallelujah. Now, within the context of murderer, I know no Christian would take a gun and shoot another Christian. Is it not so? Nobody here would take a knife and go and kill another brother in this place. Nobody will do it. Yeah? Sorry? Hopefully. Yeah, well, hopefully, yeah. Praise God. Amen. I want you to think about it. We cannot carry any physical gun and do that. Hallelujah. But you know, most of the time we carry guns in our hearts. Hallelujah. I've been praying that God just help me and deliver me. Deliver me because there are certain persons I don't really like. I'm not talking out there, I'm talking here now, so we're talking. There are some people I don't like. And whether I'm very, very serious about it. Anytime I see the person, my heart will just run to prayer. Say, God, just help me, deliver me. Hallelujah. He says that if you hate your what? Your brother. That you are what? Now, let me also tell you that you can really be around me for many years. Is it not so? And I'm carrying the same thing. Hallelujah. Judas was with Jesus for how many years? Nothing less than 3 years. But you know, he never knew there was something that was hiding inside of him. Until one day, betrayal just popped up. Hallelujah. Many times, brethren, that's how we carry it around. Hallelujah. If you hate your brother, or you carry an offense in your heart against your brother, you are a murderer. Don't wait until you carry your AK-47 and kill the person. Even though we know a time is going to come when that is going to happen. You saw a brother, that somebody's enemy is who? Them of his what? Household. Hallelujah. Amen. So, for some of our brethren, we need to be delivered from something. I'm just telling you now, because that's what the Spirit of God is telling me. Those of us that live in the villages, I don't know whether they have told you that your father was killed by another man. And when the man's name is mentioned, we don't have anything to do with those people. You are a murderer. You are carrying something in your loins. And sometimes, you know, we pass it on to our children. Hallelujah. That is on the outside. Here, there are certain things that happen to us. As parents, we discuss it with or say it in the presence of our children. We begin to influence their thoughts. And when they see that brother that you discussed last night, they will never greet him. So the brother had to come. Hey, you come here. You don't want to greet me? Oh, uncle, I'm sorry. Good afternoon. It's a lie. It's because of the things they have told him. Hallelujah. And somebody says you have to be careful what you discuss before your children. If not, you are passing on spirits unto them. Praise God. That type of democracy is not allowed in the kingdom of God, though. In fact, there is no democracy in the kingdom of God. What we have is what? Theocracy. God. You want to discuss with your children. Hallelujah. So that even the most important spiritual things, we want to go and discuss with them. There is a limit to which we can hold such discussion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go back. We are talking about murderer. That, well, it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. I hope you are taking note why it is coming this way. He is spelling them one by one, because he's going to run a conclusion very soon. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come, hallelujah, that judgment must do what? Begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? Do you understand? Hallelujah. Why he was calling those things? Sometimes I try to put my mouth in what is not my business. Hallelujah. And by the time you know it, hallelujah, you get defiled. Hallelujah. I think we need to really be careful these days also. You enter a bus and a discussion develops. You start choking your mouth into it. Like they will say in Wazobia, Ngwa, chook your mouth into the discussion. So we chook our mouth into it. Meanwhile, you came in, you never know the head and the tail of what they are talking about. You don't even know with what spirit the man is criticizing Buhari, but you join to criticize. Hallelujah. Even to that, we have to be very, very careful. Hallelujah. Amen. God is saying, judgment is coming to the house of God. God is judging the world. He's judging idols. He's also going to judge this house. Hallelujah. So make no mistake about it. Oh, come on, he's going to judge Babylon. Who told you that you don't have Babylon inside of you? You have Babylon. We have Babylon. If not, we wouldn't be doing some of the things we are doing right now. I forgot to tell you part of the story of what end time people, their wedding is like. Now they hire comedians, jesters, to be their MC. And some of you like it too. One says he's a holy malam. Another one says he's a holy aboki or aboki for Christ. They come, they make jests. Eh? The other one is Godion. That one annoys me. Jesus Christ. I say, what kind of thing is this? And you are in an environment where you can't go and tell them, please now remove this thing. Because you can only exercise authority over what belongs to you. So when you enter a bus, don't go and begin to dictate for them. Some of them carry demons, so they will slap you. In one of the weddings, end time wedding, I went and told the DJ. I said, bros, now change this music small now. He said, Oga, I'm working according to instruction. They are the people that paid me. You did not pay me. I'm telling you, Now, just respect myself. Just walk. I go sit down for my seat, before I begin to cause a sin there. End time. So conformed with the world. And I pray that people that are hearing this word today, you will toe a different path. When they met the king, you know what they told them? He said, "Don't go the same way. Go this way." Hallelujah. Is it not so? Huh? The men, the star led them to where the king was. After seeing, they had got an instruction. Don't go the way you came, go another way. As you hear the voice of God in this camp meeting, make up your mind. What the voice is telling you is very simple. Follow another way. Don't go the same way you came. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take the last area he's going to judge that is very, very critical. And in diverse ways, we have tried to say it. He's going to judge the realm of the soul, the intricacies of my being, the very faculties, the very essence of my being is going to be judged. Hallelujah. The very motive. You know, Brother Chizuke, I've been teaching about the mind. I say, Brother Chizuke, you have the burden for the mind. I want to look at the burden for the emotion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When I looked at the emotion, my wife would say, what are you looking at? I said, cool down. I discovered that emotion is what is called motivation. Hallelujah. If you go, just go and Google it. There are theories that guide emotion. Different theories. Lange's, Simeon, Williams' theories. They are all. And one of them who did an extensive research is a man you all know. He's called Charles Darwin. Darwin. Charles Darwin. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says that emotion drives many of the things we do. Emotion, your emotion drives our motivation. And that is why when, for example, somebody falls in love with a girl, it takes over him. Until he goes and does something so and so, he will not be appeased. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So the realms of the soul, not only that it is predominantly controlled by the mind, I think Bochuke tried to show us the linkages, the influences, how they connect themselves. And that is why I have to guard my soul. Because when once I let it in, hallelujah, it has a bus stop. Are we together, brethren? If I let in that thought, there is a destination. And everything that is let in have their assignment where they are going to land. Hallelujah. So whichever I let in, he knows where it's going. Whether if it's going to emotion, my emotion begins to be stirred. One time. It doesn't take time. It's automatic. I was telling somebody, some people about me. The day that is, I wake up in the morning. How your body and my body works. Okay. The way my own works. When once I tell myself that this morning I'm going to fast. Hallelujah. Just wait, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, between 8 and 10 o'clock, I start having headache. Hallelujah. It connects one time, the thing sends the message. Amen. If you carry something, I don't know about you, maybe you put something sweet on this tongue, bear, fire. It sends signals all over me that food has arrived. In fact, when once you have been fasting and you just take one drop of Sprite and drop here, your legs start sweating. Is it not true? Just try it. Just fast by 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Immediately you drink something that is sweet, your leg begin to receive encouragement to do whatever it wants to do. Hallelujah. That is when it will remember it hasn't visited the other person. Now let us go. But if you haven't done it, what happens? You say, don't put it in. I don't get power. I don't get strength to go. That is the way it works with the soul. When one thing gets into the mind, boy, it goes to the different areas. Begin to supply them strength to do what previously was not there. And that is why, and sometimes, brethren, when they enter, they just reside. Some of them will not just be dormant, waiting for a particular day. Hallelujah. I don't know whether I'm communicating. Somebody says, how could he have committed suicide? How could he have committed suicide? The man opened his mind sometime. Just one thing. Hallelujah. I was telling the brethren about my flatmate in Uturu. He left the shores of this land maybe when in his 20s. He stayed there for about 25 years. He went to Ukraine. Hallelujah. And we started talking. Hallelujah. I can tell you how these things work. Practical way so that we'll be able to shut the door. Are we together, brethren? He was giving it as a testimony. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, he has some light. In fact, it was when I mentioned that I have some friends that were in Ukraine. No? He said, what is their name? I said, Achu Bison. He said, Achu? Achu is in Canada now. We are fellowshipping together. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, the wife's name is Blessing. I know them very well. We used to rent one hall, one church, a Lutheran church, to have fellowship. Praise God. Anyway, that's by the side. He said, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I don't just know. But let me tell you. Amen. He said to me that, do I remember when the world economy crashed? Did I remember that? When stock and all that fell? Did I remember? I said, yes. He said, Isaac, you won't believe. But I know you will believe. That's the way he talks. But I know you will believe. He said, that time, I bought a house for $85,000. That house was not worth up to $30,000. He stuck, rubbished all the money he invested, because that was the craze of the time. That he put a lot of his money in it, and suddenly the thing crashed. He just looked up and down. He said, what is the point? What is the point living? He planned taking his life. He has opened the door. When once the man says that, what is the What is it worth living? Life is not worth living. You are opening up to a spirit. So he opened to that spirit. And this particular day, he said to himself that he was going to take his life at 11 p.m. At 11 p.m. This happened in Kiev. He said, I'm going to take my life at 11 p.m. That he didn't tell anybody. That in fact, what he did was he made sure that his wife had gone to bed. They had a son that time. So he walked around and made sure that he had sent his son to bed. So he was waiting for 11. Hallelujah. Because by 11 in winter, you know it is night far gone. Amen. At 11 dot, a phone rang. That was his deliverance. You know who called? His brother-in-law, who has never called him since he has been in Ukraine. He said, that man has never called me. Hallelujah. And immediately he called, you know what he told him? He said, better relax. There is no need to take your life. That this thing is global. It's everywhere. No need to commit suicide. Immediately said that, I got goose pimples. Hallelujah. And do you know who told him this thing? He's a Christian. I don't want to tell you where he goes. Because where the man goes is irrelevant right now. Rather, God, he was a man seeking. In fact, the discussion came because he's an architect. He tried to draw plan for his sister to build a house. They live at Mboba in this Port Harcourt. Hallelujah. So he drew and he said, oh, this room, like some of us here, he said, this is my husband's room. And this is my own room. So he said, why are you seeing your husband's room? Don't two of you sleep in the same room? He said, no. He said, that man prays a lot. When he starts praying here, he will shake. He will wake up everybody. That tells you his level of what? He was a man seeking God. Are we together, brethren? So it doesn't happen to any and any person. It's not when you, like Brochiyoki, eat granite and drink gari, then you, overnight, you become spiritual. You pay a price. You pay the price. If you want to escape God's judgment, there is a lot of work to be done. Hallelujah. That was who God used immediately. The man, he said he didn't know when he dropped dead and started crying. That God should just have mercy upon him and he repented. What am I trying to say? The man opened somewhere and the Spirit did what? And he started making the arrangement, giving him the time, allotting the time. And that is how it is. A man does not fall into fornication in one night. Something has opened up and you pick it in and you start it and you begin to romance with it. Nobody sees a girl and sleeps with the girl immediately. You must be a madman. Something must have entered sometime. He tried to cover it, pretend. You don't need to cover it. Cast it out. Say, you spirit, you are judged. I join my Father in heaven to judge you. Get out. And the spirit will get out. Praise God. Amen. I will just take one area and then maybe we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, let's say, when is this judgment? When is the judgment going to come? I think we read it, 2 Peter. Have we read 2 Peter? No. Let's look at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Some of us still patronize those church business houses. Is it not so? They say, this end time people, yourself, when I say, I don't understand. Go to where it will happen sweet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Die. That's where it happens fast. Hallelujah. The church must be delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I used to have some friends. I won't name the place so that you will not kill me. We were all together. Early morning, they will go to a mountain of fire and miracle. To attend, power must change hands. Our own fellowship will start 10 o'clock. They will close, power must change hands by 9. Are you following? So immediately they finish their choir, they rush down as if nothing happened. Because things were very, very tough. So you go and say, you people, I need to handle things well here. Hallelujah. So they go there. When they finish from there, they come and join us. And I can tell you, many of us are still doing the same thing now. They say, after all, you people are a church. That one is a ministry. So there is a difference between church and a ministry. Hallelujah. The scripture says here that they make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I don't know whether we understand the English. God is saying he's going to judge every church and all the church attendees and all that men are doing in this time in the name of religion. Just make sure your own is not that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's saying that the judgment is no longer going to do what? Waste time. He said, lingereth not. That's what he says there. Is it not so? He says that the judgment is now. And I've seen many scriptures, all of them referring to this judgment coming now. Hallelujah. And what is the burden of this word? That judgment has come now. Brethren, in the few days to come, as we begin to advance, I don't like mentioning 2016. I'm talking about the gathering of more darkness. That as the darkness is increasing, so also judgment is coming. God is rolling it out. God is rolling out judgment right now. God is pouring out judgments right now. Don't be caught in it. Amen. Say that if God spared not the angels that sinned. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you understand that angels are higher than you. Is it not so? He said that in Psalms that he made man what? A little what? Lower than the angels. Angels are higher beings than you. They know many things that you don't know. They see many things that you don't see. But God is saying that if I did not spare them, who are you? Hallelujah. Amen. So somebody once said that God has no favorites. There are no favorites. God's favorites are those that do his will. If you are not willing to do it, if you're still in a life of compromise and thinking that, well, when it happens, nothing will happen, is a big lie. Somebody says, oh, the only place where God will not judge will be Zion. Who told you that? God judges Israel. Hallelujah. and he judges Jerusalem. Huh? Outer court is Israel, is it not so? Outside is what? This is the world. Outer court is Israel. Holy place is Jerusalem. Holiest of all is Zion. Every one of them have got levels of judgment that is coming. Before you even come out of the world and enter here, you pass through a level of judgment. And every of God's way is filled with judgment. And God is saying, I am going to judge you. Why is God going to judge us? He's going to judge us because he is looking for sons. If there is anything God can compromise, is not in the quality of the sons that are going to come forth. He's not going to compromise that. Hallelujah. He says that in the day of ignorance, God winked at. But now he's commanding every man to do what? To repent. Hallelujah. God is not going to compromise that. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, not everybody here, hallelujah, will be a son. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Do you know why I said, I'm not condemning you. You did wrong. And you did wrong well. Who did what? Hinder you. The choice is ours, brethren. The church, the choice is ours to choose where we are going to land. It says, where a tree falleth. Huh? That's where it will stay. Hallelujah. Let's not deceive ourselves. All these things we are doing, come here, clap hand. God has his sons. And some will not make it. Hallelujah. So it behoves me to work hard. It behoves me to take another look at myself. Hallelujah. I was just asking, I said, this thing looks so minor, God. He said that if I have anything, any ought in my heart against my brother, that I should not just bother. You are not looking for people to give you gifts. That I should keep my gift outside the door. Don't bring it inside. That I should go first of all and do what? Sort it out with my brother. It's so little. But I can tell you, that thing that is so little has a potential, a seed sown into it that can begin to germinate. And he says that through much bitterness, many be what? Defiled. That a little lump leaveneth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world. Hallelujah. So in the economy of God, he has no waste. Oh God, how can you destroy the whole world? What is your business? Is the world your own? I don't know whether you understand. I make a pot with clay. After making it, I destroy it. You're coming to ask me, why did you destroy it? Is it your own? I made it. And I can handle it anyhow I like. He made the world. He can do whatever he wants to do with it. So he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly. God is going to judge the world of ungodly. And I don't want to be part of the ungodly. My heart must escape. I must run for my life. Hallelujah. Let me just give you a glimpse of the standards of judgment. You just help me find it, because I promise that I will talk about it. We said it last time in church. Second Timothy 2:20 is one. Which other one? I think that is it. 2 Timothy 2:20. No, it's not that one. About as by fire. Can anybody get us that scripture? Okay, 1 Corinthians 3. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, that is God's foundation of criteria of judgment. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the standard. Hallelujah. He says that, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone. Hallelujah. That is the first order. Hallelujah. It's like talking about 160 and 30 fold. Are we together, brethren? Hallelujah. You know, gold is more precious than silver, is it not so? And silver more precious than precious stones, is it not so? That is in that order. Now, the order that I fall in depends on me. Hallelujah. I have seen some Christians fellowshipping together. They say, listen, Isaac, you guys, you take this thing to, I am satisfied where I am. They left us and went to another fellowship, another church. He said, I'm satisfied where I am. Praise God. God's criteria for judgment. Are you building? Is your foundation made of gold? Made of silver? Or made of precious stone? And I can tell you, carry three of them and put, you are not going to use different type of fire to try them. Is it so? Is there any fire meant for silver? No, now, okay, no goldsmith here. Praise God. Fire is what? Fire. Amen. And as you put it through fire, then you are going to know whether it will survive the fire or not. And the ones that survive, the fire helped them to shine. Hallelujah. Some of us will run away. Because God's judgment is not for some, for the sons. God's judgment is not to kill them or destroy them. God's judgment makes them better. Hallelujah. Amen. It might be terrible. It might be terrible. I say, God is too much. But I can tell you, if you're able to come through it, hallelujah, you are better. Sometimes we grumble when we come under God's judgment. I can also tell you that God's judgment is not without any reason. There is a reason. Hallelujah. There is a reason for that which you are going through. It's to make you better. Hallelujah. There is a purpose for God wants to work out inside of you. He wants to bring a hope. He wants to bring a new strength upon you. That is why he takes you through fire. And I can tell you, the type of fire that God will go through and survive is not the same fire. Well, it's the same fire that wood will go through and be destroyed. Hallelujah. The essence of fire is to burn off those things that are not, you know, approved on a general sense. Why the goldsmith puts it through fire so that those things that are not part of the gold will be burned off. They will be burnt off. Hallelujah. So he said there are gold, silver, precious stones. Then he said there are also what? Wood, hay, and what? Stubble. And you and I know that if these ones go into the fire, they won't survive. So there is criteria for God's judgment. He said, for every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day, what day? Now is the day of judgment. He said, the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Right now, nobody is knowing what is going on. Nobody is seeing my hypocrisy. Nobody is seeing my pretenses. Nobody is knowing what is going on in my heart. Nobody is seeing those things that are locked up in my emotion. But he says, the day shall do what? Reveal it. Fire is coming upon it. Every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive what? A reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall be what? He shall what? Do what? Suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by what? Fire. Hallelujah. And what that tells me is that if you don't survive, if your work does not abide, you keep on going through time of judgment. Hallelujah. It is my prayer, brethren, that we look at that again. And finally, I just want to end by reading this scripture. Who shall bring this judgment? John chapter 5. We'll read from verse 20. John 5. Because that is the crux of the matter. For the Father judgeth no man. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Father is not judging anyone, but had committed all judgment unto who? Are we together? He says that God, the Father, is not judging any man. In other words, he doesn't have it as a duty to judge man, to judge you and I. But you know who is going to judge, or to judge the world and to judge the things that, and the elements, that judgment is, he has assigned that responsibility to someone. And that responsibility falls on the laps of the Son. He says, I committed that judgment to who? To the Son. His scripture is not me. It's written in red here, which means it's coming from the mouth of who? This is Jesus that said it. Praise God. We shall just break it down a little bit. Hallelujah. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life. Hallelujah. Let's just end. Stop it there. Amen. Hallelujah. There is the Son. And there is a corporate Son. Hallelujah. There is the Son, Jesus Christ. Is it not so? There is also a corporate Son. Hallelujah. Okay, let us extend the thought a little bit. Paul, writing to certain Corinthian Christians, he says, why are you always quarreling with yourselves and going to court and carrying yourself to a human judge? So what else did he say? He said, don't you know that you are going to do what? Hallelujah. So there is the Son of God. Yes. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But I can also tell you there is a corporate Son that is coming forth in this hour. God is committing the judgment of this world into your hand. But how can he commit that into your hand when you also fight and kill yourselves? He says that you are not qualified to judge the world until you begin to upgrade yourself. Until you begin to do something about yourself. Until you begin to strip yourself of all idolatry, of all evil and wickedness, then you will be qualified. Hallelujah. It says somewhere in Corinthians, casting down every imagination. And it says that until when our own what? Obedience is what? Fulfilled. You don't have any right to judge anything except you yourself. You are an embodiment of obedience. You are doing the same thing. You don't have any right. In fact, Matthew 7 tells you something. He said, don't judge anything before it's time. That before you are going to judge, what do? First of all, remove the plank that is in your own eye before you can remove the one in other people's eye. In other words, brethren, the church is not prepared to stand in the place of bringing judgment. And that is why things can tarry and stay in the way they are right now. God is working in a people. Hallelujah. When they stand in judgment, when they pronounce any judgment, in fact, you know what happened to Joshua one day? Hallelujah. Was that a battle? I think it was a war. He came and he ordered the powers over his head. He said that the sun will not go down. Hallelujah. Until they have finished that warfare. What happened? The sun stayed. And the Bible said there has never been anything like that even till today. When a man commanded elementals to stop. Brethren, what are we going? What kind of Christianity are we aiming at? When God's judgment is imminent, what kind of life? He said, what manner of men ought you to be? What kind of Christians are we in this time and in this generation? When God's judgment is here with us, and we are still playing pranks with God, we are still playing poju-poju with God, what kind of Christian are you? How prepared are you to stand in the place of judgment? Because that responsibility has been assigned to sons of God. And if you are not a son, you have no portion in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. This afternoon we are going to ask God to deliver us. Hallelujah. Who are trying to take a rendezvous through the scripture, trying to get out things. All we are doing, brethren, I'm looking for things that will save my soul. All my engagement, all my relationships. Hallelujah. That are not of God. I want him to cut it off. So that I'll be qualified as the Son of God. We have to put a knife to the foreskin of our hearts. Amen. We have to cut off those projections, those protrusions, and those things that are very obvious. Hallelujah. Sometimes it means denying myself certain things. Hallelujah. Denying myself certain pleasures. Hallelujah. Sometimes I have to tell myself, no, I'm not going to do it because this thing is an idol. I cannot submit to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you just stand on your feet and we shall pray?